Hello and welcome to Reddy and Newman's Daily Podcast, your go-to place for common questions about immigration to the United States. Reddy and Newman is a team of experienced business immigration attorneys who handle a host of visa categories and complex immigration cases. This podcast will provide an insight into our daily free conference calls hosted by our attorneys, as well as discussions on hot immigration topics. Please note that information provided is not to be construed as legal advice for your specific situation and does not constitute an engagement with Reddy and Newman PC or establish an attorney-client relationship. For specific advice on your situation, please contact an attorney. Here's your host.
This is Rahul Reddy. The time is 11:30 a.m. Tuesday, September 3rd, 2019. Reddy and Newman PC does conduct daily conference call. For those people who are listening to this conference call in podcasts and other media, you can check our daily conference call timings and details at rmlawgroup.com. For those people who are in the conference call, please press star 6 to ask question. Press star 6 to ask the question.
1356, do you have any questions?
Yes, wanted to understand, see, last week my H-1B got approved. How much time is it currently taking to get H-4 and H-4 EAD to be approved when all of them are filed concurrently?
It may take anywhere between 3 months to even 11, 12 months. They're not adjudicating the H-4 and EAD together. If you want to sue the government, you can join. We have made a group of applications. And once you sue the government, it's taking up to 60 days to get the H-4 plus EAD approved. If you want, you can drop an email. But yeah, it may take anywhere between 3-4 to all the way to 1 year, okay?
But one question is, so do we need to wait a minimum number of days before joining the lawsuit, or we can join anytime?
Yes, you have to, once the H-4 plus EAD has been filed, you have to wait for 30 days. Most probably that might have already been over. The next litigation you're going to be filing is going to be September 13th. If by that time it's 30 days, you can sue the government.
So our current H-4 is until September 5th. So should I wait until October 5th to get in touch with you if we don't get it by the time?
No, it's better to get it earlier to join the litigation rather than late. It's not the September 5th that is controlling. It's when you file for H-4 plus EAD. It's up to you if you want to wait.
Okay. Got it. Thank you so much.
The law says that they should adjudicate the applications in 30 days, which they're not doing. And that's the reason you're suing them. Next person, please.
1943, do you have any questions?
Yeah, hi. My name is Lakshmi. My call is regarding a marital issue. So can I discuss about this topic here on the call?
Doesn't look like appropriate. So you can drop an email to me. And put your phone number, I'll call back. Okay? It may not be appropriate for you and the lady to speak. Next person, please.
7742.
Hi. So, my name is Rahul. So, the thing is, I was with company A, and I got offers from two companies, B and C. Now, I joined company C on receipt, right? And the B didn't file any transfer. Now, I got a denial from company C, and after 1 month. And now B has come back to say that they are willing to file my transfer. So can they file my transfer now based on company A, which I left 1 month back? I'm not sure whether my I-797 is still valid, but I'm not able to see the status online on the website.
Wait. When is your company's A's H-1B expiring?
Expiring in September 30th. Yes.
You're speaking something.
September 30th. So I was saying it is expiring September 30th, but I've never got it stamped, and I'm not sure whether they have withdrawn it or not.
Even if they have withdrawn or even if they have not withdrawn, you can use a 60-day grace period since the time your H-1B is being denied with company C to file with company B. But the 60-day grace period is technically not available for you because your I-94 is expiring on September 30th. So you only have a grace period of 27 days. You can, within this 27 days, I don't see any problem. Company B applying for the transfer and you joining Company B. Even though Company A might have withdrawn, it doesn't matter.
Okay, so if they get an approval, it will not be any like a counselor processing or I-94 anything?
They should not be. There are some arguments between USCIS saying that denial is not a termination of the employment, and it is a termination of employment. So there's nothing, and we have been successful in that thing. I don't see any reason why you would get a H1B with company B without a 994. Next person, please.
Thank you.
3861.
Hi. My question is, I'm on H1, and my wife is on H4 EAD. For various reasons, when I joined my current employer, we did not file for her H4 EAD also. So her H4 EAD is expiring in October this year. And my H1 with my current employer is due for extension in September. It's actually due for extension in March 2020, but they're planning to apply in September of 2019. So my wife's H4, we applied for an extension in May. We have still not received that H4 EAD extension. So, yeah. Now we're planning to apply for the H4 and H4 EAD and H1 concurrently in September. Mm-hmm. So will that be a problem for her existing H4 EAD extension?
No, it will not be a problem for the H4 EAD. If there are two H4 plus EADs extensions pending, it's definitely not a problem for her to either stay in the country. However, once the EAD expires, until she receives an EAD approval from either this or that, she has to stop working.
Okay, thank you.
Okay? Next person, please.
Yeah, 9157.
March, and it's still pending. That's the time it's taking.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead. How can I help you, sir? 9157. Bindu, can you hear me?
Yes, Rahul. 3034.
Hello, hi, my name is Kiran. We filed for my wife's H4 EAD extension on July 5th. So it's not, we did not receive our extension yet. We even applied for an expedite request. So, and they actually turned down the expedite request. I'm actually planning on going to the senator to get any recommendation, but I did online research with your firm that you guys were successful in litigations. So I'm actually taking that route as well. It's because my wife, she has two new job offers that are about to join on September 30th. So they did not give her any extension after that. So she has to join September 30th. So my question is, like, if I file a lawsuit with your firm as a litigation process, my H-1B, due for extension in 2022, at that time, will USCIS hold any grudge or something like this guy is a problematic? Will that create any problem on my H-1B when it is due for renewal?
No, sir. Going through the constitutional measures that are available in the United States is not something wrong. You are doing it. The USCIS is a executive branch. When it is not doing its duty and you tried your level best to have them do it, you're just going to another branch of the government to do it. You're not using mafia. You're not using goons to get your work done. So absolutely there will not be any problem for your H-1B extension or for any other things whatsoever at all. Unless this country turns to be Saddam Hussein's country, which it is not. Okay?
Great. So, on the same timeline, so, I would like to actually process that litigation with your firm. Should I be reaching out to?
Yeah, you can drop an email to info@rnlawgroup.com. info@rnlawgroup.com or rahul@rnlawgroup.com. And then I will send you the more information.
Perfect. Thank you.
Next caller, please.
9157.
Hi, I'm Rohit. My question is regarding the interview for the H-1B visa stamping and if it is affected by changing employers. So currently I have my H-1B approved, which will start on October 1st. And let's say I take a date for December if I go to India. I'm planning. And let's say before that, if I change employers and a new employer successfully gets my H-1B transferred. So can I still go to the interview with just updated DS-160?
DS-160 online. Once you file the DS-160, you cannot update it with a new employer right now. They don't have the provision. And the problem is you're going for the interview. Let's say, for example, for Pepsi, you're going for it, and you're actually working for AT&T. They don't have AT&T information available to interview, so I would not advise you go there with a different company. You wait for the approval, then make an appointment.
Okay, and one following question. So between changing employers, you know, I have, let's say, the successful transfer has gone through. Can I go to India in between the time? Like, I know I have 60 unemployment days.
No, I would not recommend, because with company B, the H-1B is not yet transferred. While the transfer application is pending, you're not supposed to travel the country. Then it's considered that you abandon the travel application.
So let's say the transfer has gone through, it successfully transferred. Then can I go between changing employers?
But are you going to go there for stamping, or what are you going to do there for?
Let's say I leave my company A, I go to India, I visit, you know, I have some family things to take care,
I know,
do stamping.
Do you have a passport stamping in your passport?
I don't have any stamping as of now.
How are you planning to come back then?
But I have the approval for the company B, right? I can use that.
You will use that for what?
To, re-enter United States.
No, sir. You can't enter without a visa into this country. With the H-1B approval, there are some limited exceptions if you go to Mexico and Canada. But if you go to India, you don't have the stamp, you're not coming back in.
Okay, so I have to first start working at Company B, and then I can go to India for stamping.
That's a better way of doing business. Next person.
Okay.
1218.
Hi, Rahul. My name is Anil. I worked in U.S. for 9 years on H-1B, and I left U.S. in 2018 March. I have an I-140 approved in 2015. So now I'm planning to come back to U.S., and one employer is sponsored my visa, and we received an RFE. And we don't know what they have requested at this point of time in RFE. And now I'm in a situation that another employer is also ready to sponsor me. So the question is, can they apply a new petition based on my old I-140 approval while the other one is in pending status?
First thing I want to, you said the I-140 priority date is 2015. Did you work with this company until March of 2018?
Yeah, that's correct. I worked with them.
Okay. So that I-140 now belongs to you. Yeah, I don't see any problem whatsoever at all. Two companies filing H-1B. I don't see any problem in it.
Okay. So the new employer, when new employer is filing the petition, do I need to give any information about the pending application, like receipt number or so? Because I heard some... Bridge has to be filled or something like that.
Yeah, that is when you are in the country, not when you are outside the country. You said you are in India right now, right? So
yeah,
that's not applicable to you. You are under no obligation to give the company A's information, which H-1B is RFE. You are under no obligation. It's up to you if you want to inform, but you are not under any obligation. And they don't need that to file your H-1B.
Okay,
next
the person. New employer doesn't require anything. Thank you.
No, it doesn't require. Next
0970?
Question,
yeah, my name is Aditya. I'm on CAP-CAP, and my STEM EAD card is approved. And H-1B got picked up in the lottery this year, and there's an RFE. It's in the process of approval. Mm-hmm. My wife wants to travel to India in September, towards the end of September. Is it okay to travel?
What visa? She's an active visa?
Can you repeat?
What visa she is in? You said
she's in F2.
No, she should not travel in September. When is she planning to come back?
Oh, she'll be coming back towards the end of September. She'll travel on 15th and come back by end of September.
No, sir. No, sir. She should not travel. No.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next person, please.
8893. Hi, this is Martin. I got a RFE on my STEM extension. I was with company A when I filed for my extension, and then I switched employers. I filed my I-983 with my DSO, and it got updated, and I got a new I-20. But then the RFE came about the E-Verify number of the employer A. And I was thinking of submitting a new I-765 with the company B's details and put a cover letter with company A's E-Verify number and company name, and then explaining the situation. So
company B's, would it company be, B's company B's e-verification number.
On I-765.
Let me ask you this question. What was the RFA about company A's e-verification number?
Yeah.
What was the RFA about?
It was they could not validate the e-verify number for a company A because they gave a wrong number. And right now I have the correct number, and in the portal it is updated with a new employer.
I got the point. I want you to make sure. I want you to make sure that you send the corrected A's A's 765 and also company B's e-verification. Here is where the problem is that if you don't address the company's A's issue, if the company A is not an e-verified company, your SIM extension will be denied.
Okay.
So not only that you have to satisfy company A's e-verification number, you should satisfy company B's e-verification number. And you should have a sign. I would sign both 765s and tell them and explain them, look, when I filed it, I filed with company A's e-verification. Actually, there is an error. Here is the correct e-verification number for company A. But now I'm working with company B. My 982 is endorsed. My I-20 endorsed. Here is a 765 form that has the correct company and the correct e-verification number. Okay?
Sure.
Then you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But make sure that you take this seriously, the company A's also, okay?
Okay, sure. And do I put it company A on the top and company B below that and write a cover letter?
I'm just taking a judgment call here. Yeah, I would put company A on the top and company B on the bottom. Because if they see company A is not there, they just give the company B's thing, they will just deny. They're just hurrying in denying it. But if they see company A's proper thing, they will not normally deny it. Okay?
Okay. So you suggest me sending two I-765s right now, right?
Oh, yeah. I suggest you.
Okay, thank
Next
you.
Next person.
So that address me.
4192?
Yeah, hi, Rahul. Me and my wife both are on H1s, and we are planning to sponsor for for my mom and dad. So my question is, I am having shorter H1B until end of December 2019.
Matter. Oh, you sponsor your wife's sponsor, it doesn't matter. So remember, they are visiting. You are not. So it doesn't matter.
Okay. So does the...
Next person. It's what it matters is whether the U.S. consulate believes your parents are coming here for temporary reason. They already know that if you have approval until December, you're going to file for an extension. So that's not a big deal that you have only until December.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Next
0132.
Oh, hey, Rahul. Let me just thank you for doing this, taking up all the calls. I really appreciate you doing this. My question is, I am attending visa interview here in New Laredo, in Mexico. I already attended 2 weeks ago, and right now I am under 221G, and I was given a blue slip. My employer suggested that, you know, you can come back. I mean, if you go to the border and the border patrol usually lets you in for at least a couple of weeks or maybe even a month. Given my situation, and I've been calling the USCIS, the consulate. Earlier they said they had a definite timeline by maybe in 1 week that I was going to come, they're going to hear the response or the result. But right now they're saying they have no idea when it's going to come back. So my questions are, do you know if I can still go back to, and should I try going back to the country and, take a chance?
Don't take a chance. Because even if you are allowed in, they will only allow you on a transit visa. That doesn't allow you to work in the United States. That allows you to transit. But sometimes when they deny the transit visa, that's going to have a lot of negative impact on you. I would not try to attempt it. If you were, you want to, you can consider going to India, but definitely I will not try. Now, I know some people who came successfully. I know some people who didn't, but if I were you, I would not take that chance.
Okay, thank you. And how about...
Go ahead.
One more question.
Sorry,
I just wanted to ask, any chance, any idea how long it's going to take in Mexico for the...
No clue.
Thanks.
When we asked them, they said it's a security thing. They don't say anything else.
Okay.
Next person, please.
0970.
Yeah, I asked a question earlier. This is just an extension to that. I'm on CapGap, and I have a term EAD card with me. My H-1B is in process. I have an RFP which my attorney is taking care of. I have a question for you that if at all my H-1B does not go through, can I work on STEM EAD card, which I already have?
Well, you already have a STEM EAD card.
Yeah, I have it till 2021.
Well, then you're not on CAP. You have then.
My H-1B, the status on the website, STEM extension, STEM website shows that 9:30 is the date till which I can work.
Okay.
So it's not.
Make sure you check with the DSO to make sure if there is any data fixes that need to be done. Because it may be an error online system. You're not on CapGap technically.
But
I will make sure I'll check with the DSO. Look, I have until 2021. The system says only until September 30th. Please correct it. Fix the error. It's called data fixing. They can contact the ICE to fix the data. It's better to take care of it right now. Because once the denial comes in, you are out of service system, everything is very bad after that. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, so I should ask my DSO to correct that data.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next question.
And,
6386. Hey, Rahul. This is Bhavya speaking. So it's been more than 6 months I have filed my H4 EAD extension, and it was actually standalone. It wasn't filed with H1 and H4. It was filed based on H1 and H4 receipt numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So meanwhile, our H1 and H4 got approved, but you know, it's been like more than 6 months. My H4 EAD is still pending. So what are the options I have at this point?
Ooh. You should have joined the litigation that we filed in the month of June.
But I thought litigation is just for the applications which were filed concurrently, you know, all the H1, H4, and H4 EADs.
No, it has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
When they issued the form 765 form, they said that the parliament expected immigration to approve or adjudicate the cases in 30 days. And when they issued the 765 form, they said the fees required is 400 or so, and that they will take 15 minutes to adjudicate the case. You're suing them saying that, look, it's 30 days. You haven't approved my EAD. So you can if you want to. But right now, you're at 6 months because they're adjudicating the EADs in 8 months now. So when you file the litigation, it takes 60 days for them to respond. So it's a judgment call whether you want to join or you don't want to. But yeah, if you would have joined much before, it would have been much better for you.
Okay, so you are telling at this point I should just wait?
I did not say anything to you. It's your judgment call.
Okay, because
I'm not recommending you.
Litigation, litigation date is September 18th, you told, right?
13th, yeah. And
okay,
then it takes,
so
typically most of them will fall into between 20 to 40 days. But everything gets adjudicated in 60 days. So it's your judgment call what you want to do.
If
past 30 days, I would have joined the litigation. Next person, please.
3172.
Hi, Rahul. This is Rohini. So my employer A filed for my H-1 extension along with my husband's H-4 EAD extension at the first week of August. Both are I-94 expired on August 23rd. So in a few weeks, I got RFE. And then another employer B filed for my H-1 transfer, and it got approved before August 23rd. So meanwhile, at the first week of August, my husband's employer filed for H-1 week, a change of status for him, and it went on RFE again. So my question is, my employer B did not file for H-4 for my husband. Now, if this RFE on his petition gets denied, is there a way where we can file H-4 with employer B through my company and then he can stay here without getting out of status?
Here's the problem. If you file H-4 after the I-94 expires, then there is called a bridge application has to be approved. Otherwise, this H-4 may not be approved. And you don't want to take a risk staying in this country for 8 to 10 months for your H-4 and then figure it out that your H-4 is not approved because you file later on. The only thing I would recommend is that if his H-1B gets rejected, I would have him go to India to get the H-4 stamping and come back.
Okay. So meanwhile, if his company is ready to file for another H-1 application for him, still it does not work because he is out of status?
Yeah, because the bridge application is still not approved for him.
Got it. All right. Okay. Thank you so much.
Next caller, please.
2896.
Hi, Rahul. Yeah. So I was on a cap gap extension. This year my H-1 got picked, but it was denied. Mm-hmm. I just want to know what are my options I have.
Cap gap is, when is your stem extension or OPT expired?
May 20th.
Oh, you passed in 60 days too. I would say have your employer contact for litigation. That's one of the things that you can do. But okay. I may advise you to leave the country right now.
Okay.
Are you still in the civil system? Did you check it?
I checked at my SCVP portal. I could still log in, but
okay.
That
do one thing. Try to change, enroll in a college immediately.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
That will be that.
Okay.
And then go fight for the H-1B. That's the best way because you want yourself to be safe and then fight for the H-1B.
Okay.
I'll take the last caller, guys. For those people whom we couldn't reach, sorry. You can always come to our Facebook and YouTube live at 5 o'clock or you can come to the next conference call. The last caller today.
6251.
Yeah, hi. I'm on H-1B and my wife is on H-4. I applied H-1 to my wife and she got RFE and she has to go to India. And what happens to H-1 if she goes to India and she's planning, if H-1 is not approved before she coming to India, can she come on H-4 and after she comes to US? If H-1 is approved, can she directly work on H-1?
No. So she's on H-4. Her change of status has been applied. And she's leaving the country. She's considered to have abandoned the H-1B change of status application. Once she comes back on H-4, she has to apply for the H-1B with the same company.
Okay.
If the H-1B is approved. Are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
Yeah. So it's not advisable for her to leave the country. Can you do the premium processing H-1B and get it approved?
Yeah, we can do that.
That's a better. And then she leaves after October 1st. That would be much better.
Okay. If H-1 doesn't get approved by October, if she goes, is that okay?
No, it's not advisable. Unless she wants to lose the hope on H-1B, it's not advisable.
Oh, if she
you
goes
may,
to India, so this...
The H-1 is gone.
H-1 is gone, so we need to be applying another new. Okay.
Yeah. Okay?
Yeah, got it. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you then. Thank you guys for coming in. The next conference call is tomorrow at 4:30 p.m. Thank you guys.
Thank you for listening to Reddy and Newman Daily Podcast. We sincerely hope that you've taken something valuable out of it. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. For more information or if you want to make an appointment, check out our websites, rnlawgroup.com and immigrationgirl.com. Have an awesome day.